Now I see grace. Hallelujah, I stand amazed. I'm staring at an empty grave. And the stone that you rolled away. When I was prodigal, you saw sun. When I left the 99, you saw the one. And just like that, all my past has been erased. When I look back, I see grace. All right. Good morning. That's pretty weak. Everybody's saying hi to each other. Good morning.
Good morning.
Who's preaching today?
You.
No. Yeah, you picked the wrong week, folks. Pastor Kevin's out, and we're going to have fun, though. And something really traumatic or dramatic happened this week. I told Jason I figured out how to put YouTube clips on the screen. So watch out. This
and boy,
is going to be
does
exciting.
He have a lot of YouTube clips.
Joe is now overwhelmed in the back, too. So, but anyway, we're glad you're here. So how many came over from John's Island this morning? How many ran into some traffic coming across? So I'm kind of delaying just a touch here, Joe. Just let folks come on in. But we're glad you're here. As we said, Pastor Kevin is up in Anderson area with his grandkids, and so in the midst of that, they're all playing softball and baseball, and I'm not so sure, Jason, I want to hear when he comes back if he hollered at the umpires, because there was some fake news a couple weeks ago. I don't even know why I'm saying this right now, but I'm going to say it anyway. He said I was thrown out of a softball game. Do y'all remember him saying that? Some of you remember. I was never thrown out of a softball game. I was thrown out of some basketball games, but never a softball game, Stan. So anyway, the scripture, as we kind of start off, I want to look back, and this is passage that you're going to think is probably in the New Testament. You're going to think this is the story of when Jesus stood up and said, "Peace, be still," and the storm just calmed down. And if you got that little, I sent it out, I posted it, a picture of Jim Cantore. Is he here, by the way? Okay, good. He's not here. That's the only person we really don't want coming in, right? Everybody else is welcome. No, navigating the storms of life. But this, listen to this, and you're going to hear these verses, and it sounds like they're right out of that picture of Jesus calming the storm. This is in Psalm 89. It says, "Who is like you, Lord God Almighty? You, Lord, are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. You rule over the surging sea. When the waves mount up, you still them." That's the picture. And then in 107, Psalm 107, it says, "They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper, and the waves of the sea were hushed." Is that not a picture of what happened with Jesus and the disciples? So let us pray. Father, speak to us today. We've gathered in your house. We've gathered to learn about you and your great power and might. Remind us of that. And when our faith is weak, give us strength. When our faith needs to be lifted up, we pray that you will do that. Lord, we can't do any of that without you, and we just want to depend on you and trust you in all that we do. And we pray it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jason's the only guy I know who can take a drink of water and keep playing the guitar. It's amazing. Well, I told you about this. I said, hey, we were able to come up with a way to put a YouTube clip or two on the screen. Of course, you see the title of this message, Navigating the Storms of Life. Some of the funniest things you will see are involve weather, was it meteorologists, weathermen, weatherwomen on the TV. Now, let me just tell you, the first two here, one of these, the guy is apparently a newbie. He's just learning how to use the equipment and everything, and he's very excitable. The next guy is a veteran, and he responds to some graphics that are mistaken on the screen in a very professional way. So let me see, who can I pick? Steve, I haven't picked on you in a while, man. Would you rather hear the more excitable weatherman or the real calm weatherman first? You want the excitable one. That's just the way we have them in order. That's good, isn't it? So, all right, Joe, you ready? Hang on, here it comes.
Our winds will change. Right now, kind of hung up just a little bit. Oh, I moved the map. I didn't know I could do that. No way.
Are you serious? Did you just discover that?
I got to try it.
Hold on.
Can you believe that? Just touch it.
You can go anywhere you want.
That's so cool.
I did not. Can I zoom? Oh, man. It's a great day.
It's a beautiful start this morning. Our temperatures are warming up nicely this afternoon, but we're still good. I've never touched it before. Oh, my gosh. You can tilt it? What's going on here? All right. Anyway, I'm going to figure this all out. A beautiful day in the next couple of days.
All right. Pause it. Don't start the next one yet. Well, was that good, Steve? That's a good one. All right, now the next one, we have to turn it up just a touch because you got to see what's on the screen and you've got to hear what this guy says, but he handles it very, very well, very professionally, and here we go.
We'll bring you on into the temps, and we're all doing okay. Wow, 750 degrees in Gila Bend right now, and 1,270 in Ahwatukee. Now, I'm not authorized to evacuate Ahwatukee, but this temperature seems pretty high.
Cave Creek is really
good. Yeah, Cave Creek, Fountain Hills, they don't look good either. And frankly, Wickenburg is a total loss. You might as well just get out of anywhere along this 60 years. Very warm. Surprise is starting to heat up as well at 1,300 degrees. So, again, the safe spots seem to be Chandler and Mesa. Scottsdale is doing okay so far. But, you know, you're sort of surrounded by some pretty intense heat. So, you know, again, I'm not your dad, but I would get out while you still can. I think steel boils at about this temperature, so Cave Creek, there's probably nothing left up there right now. So don't even bother looting up there. It's not going to be worth it.
Yeah, don't even bother looting. All right, and then many of you have probably seen this before on the Weather Channel when they had the hurricane and one of the, you know, they're fighting the wind and so I don't want, go ahead.
The Weather Channel is now responding to reports that one of their reporters was essentially faking it during his coverage of Hurricane Florence.
Probably seen the video on Facebook as that reporter struggles to keep his balance.
Okay, picking it up here in Wilmington, North Carolina, right at the Intracoastal, and we're in one of these bands.
So that's Mike Seidel in Wilmington, North Carolina. But as he braces and fights the wind Friday, check out the two guys who seem to walk right by him in the background there with no trouble at all. The video has been shared more than a million times on social media. So now a spokesperson for the Weather Channel is defending Seidel, saying it's important to note that the two individuals in the background are walking on concrete while Seidel tries to maintain his footing on wet grass. The spokesperson goes on to say Seidel was exhausted after reporting on air until 1 a.m.
Oh, my. And then, of course, the guy that wasn't supposed to be here, Jim Cantore, here he is. And this is a pretty serious moment you'll see right here.
Huge waves continue to come in here as this surge makes its way up onto the beach, occasionally crashing, pulling down debris. We've seen telephone poles. I've seen steps come down here, parts of transformers. It is just incredible what this power of the water has been doing to the Outer Banks of North Carolina. Some places already closed with the roads because there's so much overwash. And that is going to continue as long as we have this onshore flow. I'll keep you posted here from Kill Devil Hills in the Outer Banks as most of the power is out here. Compliments of Isabel.
We're not sure if that camera survived, but wow. So the power of storms. And I want to do something a little different too. Not often do we read the Bible text or the event in three different gospels, but we're going to do that here in just a moment. Matthew chapter 8, Mark chapter 4, and Luke chapter 8. You'll see them on the screen here in a moment. But and it's interesting to see the different, you know, there's a few little differences in the Gospels, but these are called the Synoptic Gospels. Most of what you see in Matthew, you'll see in Mark and Luke. John was written later, so it's got its own, you know, flavor about it. It's very different. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, so we're going to read these three. Talk about a little bit about some of the types of storms. And you can add to this list, I know. There's a few that will pop up. Hurricanes, tornadoes, blizzards, floods, thunderstorms, hailstorms, typhoons, cyclones, derechos. Anybody heard of a derecho? Apparently it's out in Iowa. It's like those straight line winds that come up out of the plain and just wipe things out. You know, 100 mile an hour winds just show up. And not many people have heard of that. The ice storms. And understand out in California, one I didn't put on this list was a fog that just comes in and just covers everything. And you know what happens in Southern California when the fog lifts? UCLA. All right. So, Ray, I apologize. I told you. Yeah. So, there are going to be a few. And then interpersonal storms. The relational storms. What are some of the things that go on? Let's see. Cultural decay, hatred, rejection, fighting, gossiping, bigotry, slander, miscommunication. And that probably leads a lot to the next one. Divorce, jealousy, miscommunication. I think most of miscommunication comes on grocery lists. Y'all are laughing at this. It's not real funny. For us guys, I'm at the store and I'm looking at the list and it says salad dressing. I'm over there looking at mayonnaise. You know, she's thinking Thousand Island Ranch and I'm about to buy mayonnaise, you know, for salad dressing. Isn't that what it's called, salad? It's not. Okay, I'm sorry. Miscommunication there. And of course, the teacher, war is another one we just sang about. War, just incredible right now, the stress of war in our world. The teacher asked one of the students if they could define ignorance and apathy. And the kid said, I don't know and I don't care. And they were right. That was correct. So personal storms, things that go on in your own life. Let's look at a few of these. Poor health, job loss. We heard that in one of the songs. Financial stress, self-doubt, grief. Bitterness, identity, struggles with identity. Our young people today struggling with that. Separations, depression, busyness. And there's one I forgot to put on there was forgetfulness. That was an important one, yes. And so a lot of things inside of us, personal problems that we deal with, storms in our life. And then the final area, spiritual storms. And I think Jesus speaks to us about all these. You know, when he talks about peace, be still, he can still all of these storms. Doubt, confusion, not being saved, being lost, prejudice, sin, fear of death, guilt, temptation, lack of purpose, and emptiness. And you can add to that list. I mean, the storms go on and on and on. And that's why we need a God who can conquer every type of storm. So now, I think there's a picture here of this. You'll see in the background the picture of Jesus and his disciples. But I want to read these passages with you. And again, we're doing Matthew, we'll do Mark, and we'll do Luke. A couple comments throughout. But this is the story. You could almost shut your eyes and just hear what's going on. It's like there's four acts going on here, and you see that picture of Jesus just sleeping in the back of the boat. Here we go. Jesus got into the boat, this is in Matthew, and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake, with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Jesus responded, why are you afraid? You have so little faith. And then he got up, rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the winds and the waves obey him." Now you remember the verses I read from Psalm that talked about the Lord Almighty is the one who can calm the seas and the waves and the wind. And they knew those verses. Only God could do that. And they're sitting there watching this human being, Jesus, calm the wind and the waves. Let's look at the next. This is in Mark, a little more expanded version. Here it is. "That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, which is the back of the boat, for those of you like me who don't do much boating, sleeping on a cushion." Look, very descriptive. "The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, 'Quiet,' or 'Peace, be still.' The wind died down and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" And then Luke, and you see how these all kind of picture each other. Somebody has said one time, "Why aren't all these stories exactly the same?" Well, I'll tell you this. Each of these was a human being that God's Spirit was impressing and inspiring to write his word. If this was fake, somebody would have gone back and said, "Let's make sure everything matches up." The fact that there are little differences, to me, is the validity of the fact that this is God's word coming to us through different disciples. If four or five of us saw an accident, don't want to do that, and the police came along and they separate us out and said, "Tell us what happened," we have five different stories of what took place. What's the truth? Well, somewhere in the middle of all that, right? And so we have these disciples and these writers of the Gospels that are watching what's going on and reporting it in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Here we go. Book of Luke. "One day Jesus said to his disciples, 'Let's cross to the other side of the lake.' So they got into a boat and started out. And as they sailed across, Jesus settled down for a nap." Matter of fact, this shows how human he was. He was tired. If you go back and look at the beginning of these chapters, he had done miracle after miracle after miracle. People coming up and asking questions and all this going on. And he said, "I got to go back here in the back of the boat and lay down and rest." He's sleeping. As he's sleeping, so they got in the boat, Jesus settled down for a nap. But soon a fierce storm came down on the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in real danger. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we're going to drown." When Jesus woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waves. Suddenly, the storm stopped, and all was calm. And then he asked them, "Where's your faith?" We just heard that song, "Walk by Faith." Even in the toughest times, where's your faith? The disciples were terrified and amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked each other. "When he gives a command, even the wind and the waves obey him." I tell you what, folks, the thing that's really cool, we'll come to it again in a minute. The writer of Luke the physician, he doesn't say they were terrified at the beginning of it or they were afraid. He says that after they saw Jesus calm the sea. They were probably more scared of him then than they were the storm. Who is this guy? I was listening to one commentator. He says, "I wonder if any of them jumped in the lake or got out of there. Who is this guy? He could command the waves and the wind." Now, to navigate the storms, and we're going to look at this first point, it says survey the situation or see the sea. As you survey the situation of every storm, all these things that we've talked about, you need, and we're talking about navigating through it, we need a navigator. Now, I don't do a lot of boating, but one thing we need, and one time, once upon a time, I had a navigator that was in my boat. I have done a couple of weddings recently on the Carolina Girl Yacht. Anybody familiar with that? That's pretty cool. You know, and the last time I was on there, it was kind of doing this. The first time it was smooth, man. I was like, nice, this is good. I can eat the barbecue and all that. And then the next time it was a little rocky. But I had a navigator who helped me out one time. We were going out fishing. Let me show you. You probably recognize him. Let's throw the picture up here. And, of course, it said Pastor Kevin in his boat. Yeah, I put that in. So there he is. That's the navigator. Some of you are scared already. And he called me up and said, John, you know, the forecast is like 4 to 6 foot waves. Do you still want to go out? Maybe it was 3 to 4. I don't know. 4 to 6 sounds like a lot, doesn't it? So we said, oh, let's do it, man. Let's go ahead. I'm not scared of that. And so we're going out. We're up there. I think it's on the, Folly River. You're coming out of there, and you're getting ready to go out into the ocean, and it all kind of comes together. And I'll never forget, I think we have a little picture that kind of reminiscent, but that's probably calm compared to what we were in. So you know the movie The Perfect Storm? It wasn't quite like that. But we're coming along, and I'm watching this wave, and we're both right there at that little windshield that comes up to about our forehead. And I'm watching that wave, and I'm thinking, that wave is not going to stop. And sure enough, that wave went over our heads. Next thing I knew, I'm laying flat on my back. My glasses, I'm reaching around trying to find my glasses. And the horrible thing that happened was Pastor Kevin's Baltimore Orioles hat flew in the water. I know before we even got up, I was still scrambling around. He already had the boat turned around coming back in. He didn't even ask, you know, you want to keep going? No, we're going back. I think we might have tried to go by and find a hat. I don't know that for sure, but I can imagine that happening. But there you go. You've got to survey the situation. Look at some of the words that were used in the scripture there. Fierce storm, furious squall, waves breaking into the boat. Now, by the way, when the Sea of Galilee, a few years back, I think it was in the 80s, the water level went way down, and they were able to find one of the boats from this time period. The boats are about, the one they found was like 27 feet long, about 8 feet wide, and had sides about 4 feet up. So you're talking about 4 to 6 feet wave. You're talking big waves that are coming over the side of the boat, breaking into the boat, nearly swamped. And they know they're in real danger. These are fishermen. They've lived half their life in a boat, and they're still scared. Going to drown, but Jesus, where's he? Sleeping in the back. Sleeping. Calm. Now, again, think of this. It shows the humanness of Jesus. That he's back there, he's tired, and he's going to take a little nap. Anybody going to take a nap this afternoon? That's about 20%. Some of you are lying to me. Some people take a nap and it's not good, right? You know, then you're out for the rest of the day. But take a little nap. That's a good thing. So Jesus doing that. Let's look at a couple verses that kind of relate to the problems that they're facing as they survey this situation. In John 16, Jesus says, here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows. You will have storms. And then in 2 Corinthians, it says this, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Great passage. Paul, of all people, could tell he'd been through problem after problem, disease. People tried to kill him, shipwrecks, on and on, all these problems. And yet, he says, we are not destroyed. And then secondly, when you survey that situation, you need to turn and talk to the master. Turn and talk to the master. Who did they go to when they were in trouble? Who did they go to when they thought they were going to drown? Who did they go to when they thought we are in deep trouble? Look at some of the phrasing that's used. They woke him up. Lord, save us. Teacher, don't you care? They woke him shouting, Master, Master, we're going to drown. And this is the picture, you know, see the background that you're seeing. This is by Rembrandt, actually. Rembrandt made this this great artwork. And you see that boat, and Jesus, imagine him sleeping there in the back. But they go to him and wake him up. It reminds me of the verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, one of my all-time favorites. Cast all your cares on him. He cares for you. In Charleston, we can relate to that because of the shrimp nets, right? Cast the net. You ever done one, Jason? You ever cast a shrimp net? You know how to do it. I know Jonathan does. So you, Amy, you know how to? You know, man, you guys are way beyond me. So they cast it out. That's what we do with our cares, that we have our troubles, our storms. We cast them on Jesus. Why? Because he cares for us. He knows every storm that's going on in this room right now. There are storms going on in every... You look on your left, you look on your right, you look in front and back. There are storms going on in all of our lives. It could be any number of things. And Jesus cares about every one of those. That's pretty powerful. Turn and talk to the Master. He's there to help you out. Third thing. Then you want to observe the work of Jesus. Observe the work of Jesus. Rebuked the wind and waves and said, quiet or peace, be still. And then he asked, where's your faith? Now, I'm not a big boating person, but apparently Jesus showed tremendous power and authority because I don't know all this for fact, but I've heard people talking about boating. And apparently, if the wind stops, the waves keep going for a while anyway. In other words, it's not all at the same time. You know, the wind stops, but those waves are still going for a while, right? You understand what I'm saying? What happened here? He had both of them quiet down. He had both of them be still at the same moment. That's incredible. And that's why these disciples are going, who is this man that controls the wind and the waves? Observe the work of Jesus in your life. I would even say this. When you see God do something in your life, write it down. Keep track of it. Satan wants you to forget all the miracles that God does in your life. He wants you to just, matter of fact, once something miraculous happens, something really a God thing, you might say, when that happens, write it down and remember it. You know, forgetfulness, you don't got to write it down. But remember those things that God does in your life. All of us, just like all of us have storms, all of us have times where God has worked in our life that we need to remember. Let's look at a verse there. Amazing verse in John chapter 1. And Jesus, or the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. If you watch what Jesus is doing, keep an eye open. Keep the antennas up. I say this. It's like the radio. So do you realize that right now there's probably 1,000 radio and television and internet signals going all around this room, right? I mean, if you tuned into a radio station, you could tune into radio stations from all across the country, maybe around the world. They're there. We're just not tuned in. God is also speaking to us all the time. He's working all the time. But many times we're so busy, we're not tuned into it. Tune in to what God's doing. Keep the antenna up to hear what he's doing. And this whole thing, you know, you've watched the human side of Jesus as he's sleeping in the back of the boat. And then you see God in Jesus. Jesus as God, calming the sea, stopping the wind. That's what he does. That's who he is. Can you explain that? I can't explain that completely. How can he be both human and God? I can't explain that. One day in heaven, we'll sit down, we'll know him face to face, and we'll be able to talk to him about that. But right now, we put our faith and trust in him. So Jesus did this work. And you ask yourself, you know, some people would say, well, they must have shown great faith for him to do that for them. No, they showed no faith. All right? Sometimes we think if we just show enough faith, God will do a miracle. God's miracles do not depend on us. Now, sometimes he responds to our requests, you know, and there are times that we, when we get to heaven, we say, why didn't you respond to this request or this prayer? But God's power is there. It's something we can depend on at all times. Our faith doesn't earn his authority and power and miracles. It is like he bestows on us the great things of this world and this life, and we need to say, in the little faith that we have, Lord, we trust you. We trust you. And then that's exactly what the next one says. Reflect on Jesus' identity and your faith. Reflect on who Jesus is and reflect on your faith. How is your faith doing? Faith is not just a noun, it's a verb. Are you faithing through life? are you faithing life on a daily basis? Are you walking by faith? Great question. Now, I did a wedding. Let me see some of the words before we go to this next one. Amazed and terrified, they asked, who is this? The wind and the waves obey. And they began to talk among themselves. You can imagine the talk between the disciples. Isn't that what happens sometimes? I love small group. We got a lot of our small group here today. And I love the fact that we can sit there at the table and we can talk about these different things that go on. We don't always agree. We don't always agree about every little jot and tittle. That's a great phrase. But you know what? We work our way through it. Just like the disciples now are trying to figure out, who is this? Who is Jesus? And eventually, they figure it out. God helps them figure it out. So reflect on Jesus and his identity. I did a wedding down at Dalfuski Island. Anybody been to Dalfuski? I was totally wrong on where the name came from. I like my story better than the guy goes, oh, it's like Pointed Feather. That's the name what it comes from. I like my story much better because I said the word key means island. And in the Gullah language, Dalfuski would be the first island. And they go, no, it's Pointed Feather. The guy just ruined all of those stories I've ever told, made me a liar again and kicked out of the ball game. By the way, before I get, somebody goes home and says, you know, John gets kicked out of games regularly. It happened once, okay? and I will say this, and some of you guys know Danny Baker. I don't know if you know Danny. Danny, I saw him, I ran into him on the way into the Chinese restaurant, which I see a lot of you guys were going in the Chinese place, or China Walk, I guess it is, a little commercial. And Danny Baker, I said, Danny, is that you? Yeah. I said, Danny, do you remember when you got me kicked out of the ball game? So here comes Kevin's be lame, right? That's how you spell blame. But Danny was sitting behind us, behind the bench, and he's hollering at the referee. And I said, Danny, you're going to get me in trouble, man. And Danny goes, don't worry, I know that ref. He hollers again. The ref gives me a technical. There's number one. All right? You get two, you're out. So then we come down the floor. This is our church team. This isn't like high school, but this is church team. Our guy comes down, makes a great play, traveling. Oh, when I'm doing the PA announcing at CSU, I go, traveling. You know, I'm referee and I forget I'm not doing PA. Traveling, right? So the guy they call traveling, our guy, the other team goes down the floor, does the same thing, no travel call. So what do I do? Do I just sit there quietly? No, I stand up for my team. That was traveling. That's your second technical, and you are out. And I blame Danny. That's what I say. So here's a guy named Dennis. There's a picture of Dennis. Dennis is up on the side of a mountain. He was one of those guys that are called base jumpers. Is that what it's called? Where they jump off, and they got the parachute that opens up, and they just kind of float down. He's one of the world, he was worldwide, known all across the world as one of the top base jumpers. I did his wedding about 2 weeks ago down on Dalfuski Island. And by the way, we had to go out on a boat. You know, there's the water and the waves. So there he is. Let's look at a couple other shots here. There he goes. He's leaping off the side. Oh, my, another one. And then fortunately, the parachute opened on that one. And I noticed I said on that one, late about 6 years ago, 6 years or so ago, and hold them right there, Joe. 6 years ago, he had an accident on one of the jumps. And he said it was there was some mistakes between a group of people that were parachuting. He fell 250 feet. Fell 250 feet. And the beauty of what I'm about to say is you think about Jesus and his power and his healing power was that I did his wedding 2 weeks ago. Surgery after surgery after surgery. The bride, the wife, his wife now, who is his fiance, they just started dating like 6 months before this accident took place. She stayed right beside him all the way through. And so when we're up there and we're saying, I promise to love you in sickness and in health, there were tears because people knew how he had come along. We talked about, and let's go ahead and put the next one up of the them at the wedding. There they are. This is out on the island, and beautiful bride, handsome groom. And he and I are friends now. We talk about the faith that has grown in his life. When you see something happen like that, when you are brought back from that kind of situation, when you see the waves and the wind calmed, and you say, who is this Jesus? Jesus is the one who can heal. He's the one that can navigate you through the storm. It's nothing that we do, really. We just turn and talk to him, and we trust in him, and he does the rest. And we follow his voice. We follow what he has to say. In Mark chapter 8, this is later on. I believe it's later on when Jesus is talking to him. I think it's in Matthew chapter 18. I think I put the wrong. There you go, forgetfulness again. That's one of those personal storms, isn't it? Matthew chapter 18, Jesus asked him, said, who do people say that I am? Who do people out there say that I am? They say Elijah, and some say John the Baptist and other prophets. And then he looks at them and says, what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter says, you are the Christ. You're the Messiah. They now know who he is. As they've come along through this journey, they've realized who Jesus is. I hope it's the same with you. Why is it important for children and young people to be in church? Because it's a process. You don't just come along when you're 60 and go, all right, time to go to church and let's learn everything there is to know about Jesus. It's like this process, like the disciples, they were like little babies in that boat. Lord, we're going to die. Jesus is saying, have you not listened to what I've been saying? We have great plans. We have things we're going to do, the mustard seed that's going to change the world. Faith. And you've not heard it. Where's your faith? And Jesus begins that process of raising up those disciples. And the last one we have here is move ahead on mission. Once you've gone through this storm and what you're sometimes in the storms, God has a mission for you and for me. It may be right next door. It may be somewhere here in Charleston or South Carolina. It may be in Guatemala. Jonathan, getting ready. Well, how many days now till you leave? Probably 2 months or so. About 2 months. Our church, if you don't know, has raised funds to send Jonathan here down to Guatemala. And he's going to be on mission. He's been through storms in his life. He'll tell you about it. But he's now on mission. These disciples came through this and they said, who is this man? You are the Messiah, and now we are on mission. And guess what? Jesus, after this storm is calmed, guess what? They go across the other side, and there he goes. He continues doing what he's been doing. He casts out demons. He raises a dead girl to be alive again and heals a sick woman. Right after this, nothing stops the mission. Nothing should stop the mission that we have for God. Our purpose is wrapped up in what he's called us to do. Some of you are in a storm right now, and you don't know If it's the eye of the storm or the side of the storm or the wall or whatever they call it, you don't know where you are in this storm, but you know what? God's still got a plan. He's got a plan for each one of us, no matter what the storm that we're going through. Look what it says in John chapter 20. Peace be with you. Not just the storm on the sea, the wind and the waves, but the storm inside of us. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus is sending us. Somebody's going to go through the same storm that you just came through. And you can help them. You can help that person by turning them to Christ, showing the way. As we close this out, I want to read the words of a great hymn that actually was birthed in a storm. It was birthed because of a storm, and a guy we'll talk about here in just a moment. First thing I want to do is read you, think about that storm out on the ocean, or out on the lake, out on the sea. And here's the words of this great hymn. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you've taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. Though Satan should buffet and though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ has regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. And my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when our faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back like a scroll. The trump will resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul. There's a narrator who put this story, and I haven't told you the story yet. It's about a guy named Horatio Spafford. You'll see some photos pop up in a second. But we're going to play this song very quietly in the background. I'm going to read you the narration that this fellow wrote. His name is Lloyd Newell. But listen closely to the story behind the words that you just heard. All right? Here we go. Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected. Life can be so unpredictable with joys and sorrows. Beautiful blessings and distressing difficulties, they can come unexpectedly. Our life's dreams and plans can change in an instant, kind of like falling out of a parachute. We all know this to be true. So how can we find peace in such turbulence? Well, Horatio Spafford knew something about life's unexpected challenges. He was a successful attorney and real estate investor who lost a fortune in the Great Chicago Fire of 1871. And around the same time, his beloved four-year-old son died of scarlet fever. Well, thinking a vacation would do for his family some good, he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship to England, planning to join them after he finished some pressing business here at home. However, while crossing the Atlantic Ocean, the ship was involved in a terrible collision and it sank. More than 200 people lost their lives, including all four of Horatio Spafford's precious daughters. His wife, Anna, she survived the tragedy. Upon arriving in England, she sent a telegram to her husband that began, "Saved alone. What shall I do?" Horatio immediately set sail for England At one point during his voyage, the captain of the ship, aware of the tragedy that had struck his family, summoned Horatio to tell him that they were now passing over the very spot where that shipwreck had occurred. As Horatio thought about his daughters, words of comfort and hope filled his heart and mind. He wrote them down, and they have since become this well-beloved hymn. When peace like a river attends my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to know it is well with my soul. Perhaps we cannot always say that everything is well in all aspects of our lives. There will always be storms to face, and sometimes there will be tragedies. But with faith in our loving God and with trust in His divine help, we can confidently say, it is well. It is well with my soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this lesson, a lesson that the disciples learned the hard way. Sometimes we learn it the hard way as well. As those storms surround us, as they come into our lives, into our community, into our world, we pray that we will turn and talk to you, our Master, that we will observe what you are doing, and then we will reflect on who you are and who we put our faith in day by day. And Lord, then we pray that you will help us move on with the mission, with the ministry that you've called us to do. Lord, for those here today, if there's someone who's never put their faith and trust in you, they've never really said, I really believe that Jesus, you are the Son of God, and you have a place for me in heaven. If you've never done that today, Lord, if there's somebody here that's never done that, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, we love you and we thank you that you are our navigator through the storms of life. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One very quick word of announcement for you. Coming up on the, since the 30th, correct, is the James Island Outreach, April 30th. You talk about storms of life. Think of those folks who don't have food and the necessities of life. We have an opportunity to help those people, whether it's donating some food, whether it's going and helping at the food bank. April the 30th, we have a group that'll be going from our church, and you get there about 8:45. And that is, Lori, that's it. What's the name of the church over there? Is it Bethany? Oh, is it St. James Episcopal? Okay. It's at St. James on Fort Johnson Road. Okay. If you're interested in helping out, they can give you more information. I'll tell you, folks, a great way to touch our community who are going through the storms of life in that way. So a great way to do that. Help us not only to realize that we need to turn and talk to you about what's going on in our life, but to look around to those who are hurting and to find ways that we can be ministers, be on mission for you every day in that glorious way, every glorious day. We pray it now in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen.